pastor in the congregation of Harpeth Baptist Church in Kingston Springs, Tennessee, would like to welcome you to today's podcast. Remember, you can always find out more about Harpeth Baptist Church online at harpethbaptist.org. Let's join Pastor Chance Strickland for today's message.
1 Chronicles chapter 4, and we'll read in verse number 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. I don't have to survey the audience this morning to know how many of you already have heard of the prayer of Jabez.
Yes.
Amen. We've all heard of the prayer of Jabez, surely. And I don't want you to think that way this morning, because I'm not preaching you another sermon on the prayer of Jabez. You've probably already heard 15, and I have nothing against those. They're great. I've preached them before. In fact, I've used the prayer of Jabez as it's been preached and written about by modern day Christianity. It's very helpful, and it's a very good insight that we get here from verse 10 of this prayer of Jabez. I want to preach to you just simply this morning about Jabez. We preach about Job, and we preach about Mary, and we preach about Joseph, and I love to do character studies through the Bible, but I was reading through this, and I noticed Jabez got two whole verses. Now, some of the authors I read about said, well, now Jabez, he only gets two verses. But I thought to myself, I don't have any verses.
Right.
You don't have any verses.
Right.
Jabez got two whole verses in the Bible.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing to say. So I want to preach to you this morning about Jabez. The prayer of Jabez that we see here was very effective for him. And we've used that in depth. But I want you to realize that it's not some secret formula for God's blessing.
Right.
There is no secret formula for God's blessing. God just loves you and wants to bless you because He loves you.
Right.
And He wants you to love Him back.
Amen.
There's no secret to that, but it is a great pattern to consider. But who is Jabez? We don't know anything about him outside of these two verses. And in my study, there's one other instance of the word or the name Jabez in the Bible outside of these two verses, and it's not even about a person, it's about a place. I don't know if it was named after him or what. I didn't put those connections together. So at best, we have three verses with Jabez, but only two about this man we're going to study about here today. So you know it won't be a very long sermon. All right, well, that didn't go over so well, did it? Only two verses about the whole man and the whole... All right. First thing we see is that Jabez was more honorable than all of his brothers. We read in verse 9, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. But we don't know why. We don't know how. We didn't get any more insight there other than that he was more honorable than his brothers. But that's a good thing to be said about you. I would like for it to be known to me that I was an honorable person, that I could be kept at my word. That's a good thing. Second, we see that Jabez's own mother named him for the sorrow that he brought her. Now, we just named a baby this week, so this is very relevant to me right now, thinking about Jabez and the name that his mother gave him. We had Thomas Edward Strickland. If you tell Miss Shanae I had to go to my notes for that name, I'm in trouble. We have Jackson, who's our oldest, and Henry, who's middle, and then who was baby, but now he's middle. Poor old Henry. And then we have Thomas now, who's our baby. And I've been calling Thomas Henry all week long. I mean, just come natural to call the baby Henry. But he's so exciting. Babies are so exciting. Not just my baby, but anybody's baby is exciting. Colby this morning is big enough now to shake hands with a preacher. Isn't that something? He put it out there and shook my hand this morning. That made my day. We just can't stop staring at this baby. 3 a.m. He's mad and crying and he wants to eat. And his mother ribs me and says, "Feed him." I said, "You feed him." She says, "Your turn." Where are all the people now? Everybody wants to hold him, keep him up all day. But you go in there and you don't want to be awake and you don't really want to deal with this right now. And he needs a diaper change and all, you know. But when you get him and hold him, you just can't stop looking at him.
Amen.
And you can't help but love him. He's a baby.
That's right.
Brother Rye came over and asked me, "Well, how did you come up with the name Thomas. Well, I told Brother Tom Meadows that we came up with it from Brother Tom Meadows. And I told my preacher back home, Brother Thomas, that we came up with it from him. When Brother Dennis Thomas was here, our missionary, he said, well, you named the baby after me. And Brother George said, well, the root of George is Thomas, so we named it after him. So that's where we came up with this name. Shanae is named, Dawn Shanae Strickland. She went by Shanae all her life. Nobody knew how to spell it. Most people didn't know how to say it. People say Shaney and Shanae and all these crazy things. I'm Chance without an E. I don't know why my parents didn't put an E on the end of my name, but I don't have an E, so I get called Chank and Chomp. And I was in a basketball tournament when I was in high school, and they thought that we had spelled the name wrong on the roster, and they made it an O on the end, so I was Chano, and they called me out as Chano Strickland. Announced me before the whole crowd there, and I was supposed to run out and play basketball today. So we named our boys simple English names that everybody knows how to spell, and everybody knows how to pronounce. Jack and Henry and Thomas. Those are easy, easy names. That's how we named our son. But Jabez's mother here, she named him Jabez. Read what it says in verse 9. His mother called him Jabez. Now I wish for Jabez's sake after this it said because he was such a beautiful child. Or because she loved him so much. But that's not what she says. Now some of your mothers may shout amen to what Jabez's mother said right here. Saying, because I bear him with sorrow. She wanted Jabez to remember. And she wanted everybody else to remember for the rest of his life. That she bore this boy with sorrow. He didn't come into this world without some hard work by mom. Amen, mothers. But I say to that, poor old Jabez. The name Jabez means to grieve. It means affliction. What a horrible thing for a poor baby to have his name mean for the rest of his life. Now, you and I, your family may, but in general, Americans, our names are just given to us because our parents liked them. They don't mean anything particularly. We don't name our kids something because it means something else. I mean, sometimes we do. But then your name was you. It was your character. Your parents named you because it meant something. Either a family thing or a spiritual thing. And that's how people sort of judged you when they heard your name. They knew something about you, they thought. So Jabez had to go the rest of his life. And when people heard his name, they thought of sorrow and grieving and affliction. And then we also know that Jabez cried out to God. We see in verse 9 that he was considered more honorable than his brethren. We see in verse 9 that his mother named him Jabez for a reason. And then in verse 10 we see, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. The ancient belief was that the name represents the character of a person. So Jabez must have feared that evil might come on him. Grief, affliction, sorrow was his name. So we see here as he called out to God for himself, and says that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and let your hand be on me and keep me from evil. Jabez prays to Almighty God and asks for help because for the rest of his life people are going to think grief and affliction and sorrow. Did you hear that Andy Griffith passed away this week? Sad to hear that. I like Andy Griffith. And the show is an endless vault of sermon illustration. Have you seen the episode, The Luck of Newton Monroe? Y'all seen this one? You may not know the titles like I do, but the guy who had a jinx. And Barney said, Andy, don't take him fishing with us. He's jinxed. And Andy said, Barn, that's just superstition. He's fine. But they get out there and the boat sinks. And they lose all their fish. I mean, it's just a horrible day. The man was apparently, maybe he was jinxed. I don't know. But Newton Monroe went through the rest of his days in Mayberry and maybe had to leave town because everybody thought that poor old Newton was jinxed. Jabez apparently felt this way. He felt that, hey, I'm going to go through life as a sorrowful person full of affliction, bring problems to around people. So he cries out to God and asks God. Now, it's hard to pray for yourself. Do you feel that way? I want God to bless me, but I feel guilty if I say, Lord, will you bless me? I feel real good when I ask God to bless you. Amen. I'll pray for you and I'll say, Lord, bless them. They deserve it. They need it. Help them. I hope you pray for your friends and family that way. Amen. And when God does, I'm so happy for them. A little jealous, but I'm happy for them. But it's hard to pray for me. I feel guilty. I feel like I'm a little conceited if I say, Lord, give me something. And we read here this prayer of Jabez, and that's exactly what he did. So that's what I want to focus on this morning. We get little information about Jabez, but we do get an unforgettable prayer. And I want to just show us a few things that this prayer teaches us. First, we see very clearly that God is listening.
Amen.
Anytime you pray, know that God is listening.
Amen.
Isn't it great to know that the God of heaven, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth, is listening to you?
Amen.
We sang this morning a song about chiefest of sinners, and I thought within myself, amen. But then my mind went to Paul, and Paul said he was chiefest of sinners.
Right.
And I thought, well, man, Paul's much more important than me, so I may feel like chiefest of sinners, but he's got it written in a book that he's the chiefest of sinners, so he's one-upped me there. But we know God's listening. And I wonder, is God listening to me, little old me? I've told you before, sometimes I wonder that he is. I'll be over here working and praying, and I'll think, I don't know, maybe he's busy this morning. Maybe he's not. Maybe he's doing something important in Nashville. Kingston Springs is a small town. I'm not a small guy, but I'm not important. Maybe God, so I'll cry out sometimes, say, Lord, it's me, Chance. William Chance Strickland, over here on Butterworth Road at Harpeth Baptist Church. You know who I am. You remember me, Lord? But when I look at Jabez here, I see that God is listening. Jabez believed that God would hear and heed to his prayer. We've all probably at one time in our life prayed hoping, but maybe not believing. Have you ever done that? Prayed with hope, prayed with a wish. Birthday time comes around when you're a child and you blow out the candles and you make a wish. And you wish for something that's just crazy, you know. Especially that 16th birthday. Blow out the candles and a brand new car is going to be sitting there. Close your eyes and it's not there. You ever pray that way? You close those eyes to pray and essentially blow out the candles and make that wish. And you think, Lord, help. And you're hoping that when you open your eyes, things will be different. But in your heart, you're thinking, nah, it's going to be the same. But at least I've got him to go to. And it does help sometimes just to be able to tell somebody something, doesn't it? But every now and then, I just want to know that he's listening and be able to see that he was listening and he did something about it.
Amen.
Well, we see through the prayer of Jabez that God's listening. At the end of verse 10, the Bible says clearly, God granted him that which he requested.
Amen.
He had to be listening to grant that.
That's right.
You know, we have it better than Jabez. Jabez believed that God would hear and that he would heed. He just believed that. And then he prayed and just had to do it on faith. We believe and we pray, but you and I already have it written that God granted.
Right.
I don't know that Jabez had that. But you and I do. We know that God will grant. We know that God's listening. It's fact. It's written in the Word of God.
Amen.
God can't deny His Word.
Amen.
This is truth.
Amen.
Man, we have it so much better. So know that God is listening. And know that in the end, God gave him what he asked for. The second thing we see from the prayer of Jabez this morning is that God wants us to ask for great things. Jabez didn't just pray some, you know, minor prayer. He didn't just pray, Lord, bless this food and help me to have a good day. In your name I pray, amen. You know, that's a lot of times what our prayers consist of. Jabez prayed a big prayer. Jabez asked for great things. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and that you would enlarge my coast. Jabez prayed for something big, something important, something mighty. Is there a better way for God to show his greatness than through his people? There's no better way. That is the best way for God to bless you indeed, for God to enlarge your coast, for God's hand to be upon you, for God to keep evil from coming upon his people is a great way for him to show his greatness.
Amen.
Some of you have been ill unto death and God's healed you. He's blessed you indeed.
Amen.
He's let his hand be upon you. He's enlarged your coast in that he elongated your life.
That's right.
He did that for you, but he also did it for himself. The rest of your days, you'll be able to show the greatness of God.
Amen.
Some of you have been at the point of bankruptcy, and God somehow or another worked it to get you through, and now he's enlarged your coast. He did that for you.
Amen.
But he did it for himself, for his own glory.
Amen.
The rest of your days, you can show the glory of God. Some of you have had near-death experiences, and you wondered, how did I get through this? How did I not die? How did... The hand of God was upon you. That's all it could have been. He did that for you.
Amen.
But he did that for himself, that his glory may be shown. There's no better way for God to show His greatness than through His people. And God wants us to ask for great things, as we see Jabez did here this morning. But a very old theologian named Augustine wrote about this, and he put it in words that I couldn't, so I want to share his with you this morning. God is more anxious to bestow His blessings on us than we are to receive them.
Amen.
Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Imagine the blessings that are in heaven that maybe we never see.
That's right.
Because we're reluctant to receive them. You know, many times for me, I ask for just enough, fearing that I might somehow overuse God's goodness. I don't want to wear out my welcome in heaven. I was taught as a child, when you go to someone's house, you eat what's put before you, and you don't ask for anything else. Even if, you know, ketchup, mustard, whatever it is that you eat at home, if it's not there, you don't ask for it. You just eat it. Whatever they give you right there in front of you. You don't want to wear out your welcome. And I try to be that way now. It's a little harder as an adult. I know Dad can't hold me down and spank me, so sometimes if I'm at your house, I may ask for ranch dressing. I really do like ranch dressing. But I'm that same way with God. Sometimes I even feel guilty of all the sins that I have to ask for forgiveness for over and over and over again. I think, He doesn't want to hear this. He doesn't want me coming back to Him asking for forgiveness again today. He just helped me in this area. He doesn't want me coming back to Him asking for help over here now. Well, I tell you, the more children I have, the more I'm on my knees and the more I'm praying. If I'm not praying for Jackson and something, I'm praying for Henry. And now I've added Thomas to the list. And Lord, please help Miss Shanae. Poor old Miss Shanae. Somebody said, "Boy, Miss Shanae, what are you going to do with three boys?" And she said, "Four." Well, that hurt my feelings. But are you that way? Are you reluctant to pray sometimes? Are you reluctant to ask? Maybe you don't want to wear out your welcome. You don't want to ask for too much. Lord, we need a new car. We really want the blue one. The new one, the fast one, the one with this interior and these features and all this. But I'm reluctant to ask because, Lord, I can get by with just any car. Not that God cares about cars. Maybe He does, maybe He doesn't, I don't know. But it's in every area of our life. We're reluctant, especially with cars, so to speak. But it's in every area that we're that way. When we're reluctant to pray for a specific thing, we'll also be reluctant to pray for a specific healing, for a specific blessing, for a specific use. What should be our greatest desire on this earth is that God will use us. Lord, use me some way to bring glory to Yourself, to help someone else come to know You.
Amen.
But if we're reluctant even to say, "Lord, we need a new car, and this is the one we want, and You work Your will, and we're trusting You," we'll also be reluctant to say, "Lord, this is my neighbor, and they need to know Christ. Use me to help me reach them."
Amen.
Because we don't feel like we're good enough. We don't feel like that He can through us.
That's right.
Well, who else is He going to use? Is it the neighbor on the other side of their house that's going to bring them to church, that's going to show them Christ? No, it's You. Ask the Lord, "Bless me indeed. Let Your hand be upon me so that I can be used of You." God wants us to ask for great things. If you look with me quickly at 2 Kings chapter 13. Just hold your space here in 1 Chronicles. We see a story here of just this. Could have asked for a greater thing, but just took enough. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14. "Now Elisha was fallen sick." Now you know Elisha was the prophet of God. "And his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, 'O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.' And Elisha said unto him, 'Take bow and arrows.' And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, 'Put thine hand upon the bow.' And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, 'Open the window eastward.' And he opened it. Then Elisha said, 'Shoot.' And he shot. And Elisha said, 'The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek until thou hast consumed them.' And he said, 'Take the arrows.' And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, 'Smite upon the ground.' And he smote thrice and stayed." Three times he smote him upon the ground. "And the man of God was wroth with him and said, 'Thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice.'" He told him to bang the arrows on the ground, and he did it three times, and he stopped. And the preacher said to him, you should have done it five or six times, because now you're only going to smite him three times for the three times you banged him on the ground. But if you'd have just kept going until I told you to stop, you would have smote him that many times. You can go back to 1 Chronicles now. Do you see through there what a simple illustration of how God wants us to ask for great things? God wants us to do great things. God doesn't want us just to stop at what we feel like is enough. Don't just go three times. Go five or six or ten. I like Caleb. Caleb didn't just say, okay, give me a plot of land to live on. He said, no, give me my mountain. And they said, but you're an old man and it's full of giants. And it's fortified. He didn't care.
That's right.
He trusted God and he said, give me my mountain.
Amen.
What's your prayer for your family? What's your prayer for you? What's your prayer for your career? What's your prayer for your children? What's your prayer for your church? What are your goals in life? We start every January with goals. Things we want to do this year. Where are you at on those goals? Have you stopped at three and said, well, maybe this is enough? Or have you said, hey, maybe I'm working through these. Maybe I should have set my goals higher. I'm going to do more this year. Oh, Lord, that Thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast and let Your hand be upon me and keep evil away from me. God wants us to ask for great things. What is it you're afraid to ask God for? You have something right up here. You may not talk to your spouse about it. You may not talk to your friends about it. But it's something that you feel that you want to do or you could do or you might do. Are you afraid to ask God for that thing? When it comes down to life or death, we'll ask God for anything. Lord, if You'll just, I promise I will. Have you been there? Prayed those prayers? Why does it have to only be then? God's given us this life to live for Him, and He wants us to ask for great things. But for some reason, we're afraid. Jabez's own mother gave him a lifetime curse in his name. His brothers despised him, probably because he was more honorable than they were. Still, Jabez was not afraid to ask God. He wasn't afraid to ask God to bless me. Are you afraid to ask Almighty God to bless you? Is there somewhere in the Bible that it says you can't ask God to bless you? Where do we pick up on this? Where do we get the idea that we can't ask God's blessing on ourselves? We ask Him to bless food of all things. Why not me? Why can't He bless me? Are you afraid to ask God to enlarge your coast? Jabez wasn't. That could be in a variety of areas. Your business, your family. Fill in the blank. What are your coasts that you want God to enlarge? Are you afraid to ask God, let Your hand be with me? You know, we pray that a lot of times without realizing it. Lord, thank You for this meal. We ask You to nourish it to our bodies. In other words, Lord, probably shouldn't eat this. I might get sick off of it. Help me without having to take Tums. You're asking God's hand to be upon you. When we leave for a long trip, my boys say, Dad, we got to pray. Dad, did you close your eyes? We got to pray. Well, I'm driving, guys. They want me to close my eyes. And they'll say, Dear Lord, help my daddy and keep us safe and let our car run good. And they pray for our trip before we go. We're asking God's hand to be upon us. Don't be afraid to ask for that.
Amen. That's good.
And then to keep you from evil. Problem about praying to ask God to keep us from evil is because there's some things we like to play with, be a part of. I don't know if I want to be that holy. The greater the blessing, this is the next part. The greater the blessing, the greater the responsibility. We see from the prayer of Jabez that God wants us to ask for great things. We see that God is listening. Praise God that He is. And we see the greater the blessing, the greater the responsibility. Jabez was an honorable man. He was dependable. He was faithful. And he asked God for these things. And God grants that. What a great blessing. But we should know when asking that to whom much is given, much is required. Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more. When God grants and enlarges your coast, you'll have that much more to look after. We've asked God to bless us with a child, and now we have three. Well, now I have three to feed, three to raise, and three to send to college someday. Just got to meet with the board of stewards after the service this morning. I'm just kidding. You can ask God to grant and put His hand on your life. But that doesn't come without some pain and sacrifice.
Right.
You don't live a life with God's hand upon you, blessing you, without Him molding you and working you. And that hurts sometimes. But He's making you to be what He wants you to be. That purification, that becoming holy, becoming separated unto Himself, is a trying time. The greater the blessing, the greater the responsibility. We also see that intimacy with God is critical. Jabez specifically prayed that God would be with him. It's important that we have intimacy with God. We see that greater the blessing, not only is greater the responsibility, but the greater the blessing, greater the temptation. Why did Jabez say, "And keep me from evil"? God enlarged my coast and my career. In comes more money. What do we have to do with that? More for God or more for me? God, keep me from evil. The greater the blessing, the greater the temptation. God enlarged my coast. This church here, this ministry. But you watch. You let it grow and grow and grow. And what happens to the preacher's head? It grows and grows and grows too, doesn't it? The greater the blessing, the greater the temptation. And then we see that God's blessing is never in short supply. Isn't that the truth? He's not running out. God granted him. God wants the world to be full of Christians willing to pray like Jabez. Amen. One guy in the Bible got two verses for how he prayed to God. We are told kind of the rough part of his life in verse 9, and then how he called out to God and God helped him in verse 10. Very simple and very easy. But even through all these folks in the Bible, he's the only one who got that kind of remark. God wants more. You know what the problem with us is? We pray like Christians. You never heard that being said a problem, do you? We pray like religious, Christian, Bible believers. We pray how we've been taught to pray. We pray how we think is right to pray. We don't want to be full of pride. Asking God, "Well, bless me, God." So we pray like Christians. Can I ask you this morning to stop praying like Christians and pray like Jabez? Jabez was a follower of God, wasn't he?
Amen.
And God granted what he asked for. Stop praying like Christians and begin praying to an all-powerful God. Because there's nothing that He can't do. Stop praying like a Christian and pray to an all-present God. Because there's nowhere that He can't be or that He can't go. Nowhere. And stop praying like Christians and pray to an all-knowing God. There's nothing you'd ever ask Him that He didn't already know.
Amen.
You ever try to hide it from God a little bit? I'll go back to the car. If you're praying for a car right now, I don't mean to be picking on you. I don't know of anybody who is. Just an easy illustration. Lord, we need a new car. In your mind, you're thinking the blue one with this interior and these accessories at this certain place at this price. What, are you trying to hide that from Him by not praying it? He already knew that. Now think bigger than cars. Cars are just a means to get there. Think about what you're doing when you get there. What is it God wants to use you for? What do you think about up here? Those visions and dreams that you have of things you might want to do someday for God. Pray like Jabez. Stop praying like a Christian. Miss Betty, if you come to the piano. We're going to stand all over the house this morning. With head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to think of this morning. Will you pray this way? Will you teach your family to pray this way? Will you write these verses in the front of your Bible or in the front of your prayer book and learn to pray this way? In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27, the Bible says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?"
Amen.
Will you ever have a prayer that's too hard for Almighty God? Never. I challenge you this morning to come and pray different than you've ever prayed before. You may be right on the brink of God doing something major in your life if you'd be willing to come and get in this altar and say, "Lord, I want to stop praying like me. I want to stop praying like whatever you want to fill the blank in there. And Lord, like the pattern that I see here, I'm going to call on you differently than I ever have. And I'm going to ask you this morning to bless me indeed, to enlarge my coast, for your hand to be on me, and for you to keep me from evil. Lord, I see that for Jabez, you granted this. And I'm asking you this for me. For my family." Would you be willing to come this morning and pray that prayer? Genesis 18:14 says, simply, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?"
Thank you for listening today. If you have questions about this ministry or would like to know more about becoming a Christian, please contact us. can be reached online at harpethbaptist.org or by phone at 615-378-1136. Please join us again next week for another Bible sermon from Harpeth Baptist Church.